charity purposes. I want to welcome everyone to the Human Services Coordinating Council meeting. We'll be discussing panhandling and the legal aspects of panhandling. I'm Karen, I'm sorry, I don't have the agenda in front of me, so I'm sort of blind.
Helen Rubino from West Hartford, she's going to do a small introductory, and she will introduce Tom.
Perfect.
So she's on.
Great. I see Helen there. Helen, I'll turn it over to you then.
All right. Fantastic. Thank you. Thank you, Pauline. And thank you to the to CROG for organizing this meeting and kind of taking it to the next level. We really appreciate your assistance and your support here. So I just wanted to summarize kind of what brought us here today. In response to concerns from our town council and members of our community in West Hartford, we were asked to look at panhandling in our community. And of course, we wanted to make sure that this was a holistic approach, as well as finally a regional approach, because we understand that we don't act in a vacuum, and that we act in collaboration with our neighboring towns. And so we felt it was important to bring various voices together to listen to different aspects of this of panhandling in our communities. So we invited to our first regional roundtable was held in July, and it was very well attended. I'm glad to see many of the names back to continue this conversation. But we brought together police departments, representatives from our community court in Hartford, obviously social services departments from the region, as well as nonprofit service providers. It was really important for us to get their voice. And we clearly heard that what was missing from our group was were people with lived experience. So we're hoping that that will be continued in the future. So of course, part of our initial approach was to do outreach. West Hartford Social Services, particularly our manager Astrid Calderon, who's with us, as well as our police department, did some research. They went in into the field and interviewed. And this was done in collaboration with our between social services and the police department. I see that we have Aaron Bafiades, Lieutenant Bafiades from our PD is here. We really wanted to know kind of confirm what we suspected about the kinds of people in our community that were engaging in panhandling and the reasons and the underlying causes. Our town council asked us to look at a couple of actions. But before we took these actions, we really wanted to hear from this group. And so that's why we pulled together the July meeting. And some of those actions included an ordinance against aggressive panhandling, and what the enforcement might look like, what the consequences would be. As well as an educational component to educate our community as well as panhandlers. And another action that we discussed and looked at closely was kind of researching and trying to settle on additional staff, additional support. And around the country, we've seen kind of the social work police liaison take shape, and we obviously discovered that no one size fits all, and that it really is depends on the size of your community and the challenges that your community has. But West Hartford did, I'm pleased to say, identify a wonderful person to fill this for West Hartford. Samantha Innes is on this call, so she's joining us in this role as police, as the social work police liaison, focusing on mental health, substance abuse, and certainly we'll incorporate outreach to those who panhandle as well as needed. But I think the focus today is the domino effect of some of these actions. And then maybe we can all just revisit where the actions that our communities, our different communities have taken, and what some of those intended or unintended actions, consequences may be. And so today, obviously, we're bringing back, as our guest, our speaker, our main speaker today, Tom O'Brien, is the senior assistant state attorney. And he has done has a wealth of knowledge and has done significant research and lived and experience with panhandling in his profession. I look forward to hearing more about his thoughts on how we can address this issue in a regional way. So Tom, you can take it from here. Thank you.
Thank you, Helen. I think a lot of you know me either in person, personally or through these Zoom meetings, but I am in no way an expert. I don't hold myself out to be. I sit here and deal with those who are charged by mostly by the Hartford Town Ordinance that come to community court. It is a problem that is almost impossible to solve. I think you all have seen that. People panhandle for a variety of reasons or claimed reasons, but mostly they do it because it's lucrative, it pays. So I get the demand side of it. I get the offenders who are charged with panhandling or with disorderly conduct or disruption or trespass. They come to court. I see Doug and Tuna, you're out there, right? I think so.
I am, sir. Yeah,
sorry about Barrett's that. There. Aaron, you're working from West Hartford. When you have an ordinance, and West Hartford doesn't have their ordinance yet, my suggestion is, I can't as a prosecutor say, it's almost inappropriate for me to say, give me another law, give me another ordinance, but it's something I think should be strongly considered. I know there's two sides to that coin. It will give the police in your communities another tool. That doesn't mean you have to use the tool. And I think the police in Hartford have great discretion over whether they charge someone with the panhandling ordinance. It's usually as a last resort to get people brought to court so that this court, especially in West Hartford, has the same advantage as do most of the surrounding towns. Having the community court is just another avenue to get people to treatment, to get people connected with services. The whole point of the community court is not to convict people, but to try to give them a way out of their lifestyle and to improve their lives by giving them assistance. So for some other towns where you didn't have a community court, I'd say maybe you'd really want to take a hard look whether you need an ordinance. Where the outcome of a referral to court is a referral to services, I think it makes that decision a little easier for you. Aaron, I'd be curious what you think. What's the Hartford Police, the West Hartford Police Department's position on having the town ordinance?
I mean, we certainly were in support of the ordinance. I think when it first became part of the conversation, we were just worried about the impact of putting the ordinance in place and just the impact on community court and what community court was doing with these types of cases. But it's encouraging to hear, you know, that community court is just another avenue to connect to services, because that's not something that we get to hear very often on our side. So that's great information for us, and certainly supportive of the ordinance.
Yeah, and with the community court, West Hartford Social Services is available here at the court every Wednesday. So there's a connection to the town already. At this point, we try to refer cases that need social assistance. We try to take the more serious cases, but certainly we have the capacity to handle anything that comes the way. The harder issue becomes, I mean, the problem of panhandling is multifaceted. One, it just gives a bad look to the town for a lot of people. When you have people getting off the exits and they see the panhandlers, it's your introduction to the town of West Hartford or to Hartford, Farmington, Glasgow, all of our towns. And it's also, in a fashion, has people thinking that maybe these towns aren't providing for the forest people, which isn't true. You know, I think that either through the town services or through the private nonprofits, we have services available. So to really effectively deal with the panhandling, and we've gone through this, I'm not going to try to pretend like I know more than anybody else, but trying to address the supply side of it, trying to educate people to realize that when they give to the panhandlers directly, they're almost circumventing the help that's out there for them. Any money that a panhandler receives, the reality is, and what's so troubling about this, there's the literature goes all over the place. Some of the literature will say that 70 to 80% of the panhandlers are homeless or you know, challenged with their housing. Jackie, you're there. And I saw another article that says 70 to 80% are not, homelessness isn't an issue for them. So it's all over the place. And I think you took the initial steps to take a survey. Astrid, you'll be following up on that, knowing that your offenders out in the town, your panhandlers, correct? You're trying to identify people and know who they are. And the reality is a lot of, if you took a breakdown, if you asked any of your nonprofits, okay, and I think you've done, most of you have done this, you say, okay, when you give us a dollar, here's where it goes. 10% goes to administration costs, this goes to that. Now, if you did the same thing with a panhandler and you said, okay, where's your dollar go when you give it to a panhandler? Probably 90%, 90 cents is going to go to alcohol or drugs or some illicit activity, not towards food, not towards clothing, not towards their housing. And that's been my experience. And when I bring people in, I ask them when the panhandling, I'm able in this court to have those conversations with people, which is going to lead me to tell you what I'm thinking of doing again. I think most of you I've mentioned with the Asylum Hill neighborhood, I brought in a group of panhandlers here and had a meet with the neighborhood group, the community group. I'm actually thinking of doing something similar again, possibly, and I want to know what your response to it is if you want to be part of it. We're thinking of part of the penalty for a lot of the panhandlers is we have them do community service. That doesn't mean we send them out working them hard, but we send them out in the community. They're engaged with the court. And the people who supervise our community service groups here are all trained to recognize social needs and whether the people are in need of assistance. They have more time with the individuals than I do. I get maybe 5 minutes with each person coming through, 10 minutes. I have to make a quick assessment. A lot of that assessment's already done by the police officers on the street before they send them there. They talk to these people. Oftentimes in the report, they'll tell me they're in need of mental health assistance, they're in need of substance abuse assistance, all of these things. So for the panhandlers that come in, we try to connect them directly to services if that's an obvious thing to do. For those that it's not so obvious or who choose not to get the connection to the services, they'll get community service that leaves them in close contact with the court personnel here, which oftentimes does lead to a referral down the line. I'm thinking of a day in perhaps December or maybe after the new year, depending on whatever your schedules are like. And I'm going to schedule panhandlers, only panhandlers for community service on a certain day. And at the end, at the lunchtime on the first day, I'm going to bring them back in and we provide lunch to everyone. I'm going to see if we can provide, I know Jimmy, this is Jim, I'm saying this to you for the first time, but Deb's going to be reaching out to you, Deb Barrels. We're going to try to find, especially in the wintertime, see if we can get them the shoes, the boots that they need, get them a coat, hats, gloves, some toiletries, the basic necessities. And if they show that first day, but what we're going to have an opportunity is if the service providers, the nonprofits, wanted to be present in the afternoon to talk to these people, to find out what their needs are, to introduce themselves, to make sure they know where to go for services. Most of them do. But take away the excuse. We can do it all in one location here at the courthouse with a captive audience. And if they showed that first day and they stayed around to interact with people, I'll give them the reward. I'm probably going to, what I did the last time was I dismissed the case so that they didn't feel they had to be here. And that way they put everybody on the same footing. But maybe we can take an opportunity where I have a bunch of these people who are panhandlers or charged with it, gathered in one place, and we can have access to them and kind of interact with them. Just throwing that out for a thought. It's something I could easily orchestrate here, and you can get back to me on it if you want to be involved in it. I'm probably going to do it anyways just to try to get them the hats and the coats. And I said before, I think before this group, And Jim Barrett does this better almost than anyone on the street. If you have a personal connection with people, then you have a chance of changing their behavior. They feel in some ways an obligation back to try to accept the help and maybe follow through on it. But it's all about personal relationships with people. And that includes with panhandlers. Those same personal relationships are why some of them were so successful with the panhandling, because they have regulars that will come and take care of them. Jimmy, I see you're trying to talk. No? Yes.
No, I mean, you're absolutely right about the, you know, with the collaboration, working with you, with the community court. And it's a tool with the summonses to get the services that they really need, you know. It helps tremendously, you know. But we try to prevent giving the summonses out if they do it on their own. But if it comes down to it with the quality of life, with the citizens' complaints and stuff like that, that's the enforcement action that we normally take. So, I mean,
educating the public is a huge part of it too. There was one, I can't remember the time. I think it was somewhere in Texas. And when I first looked at it, I said, it verges on being disrespectful, but it had a point. The police there, when they were engaged with the panhandlers, confiscated their signs. And so the public service message was a police officer holding up one of the signs, "We'll work for food." And then saying, "The service is food can be provided through these nonprofit organizations, these agencies. Need rental assistance. It can be provided here." So every need that was stated on one of the signs was also able, we could show we can meet that need, and here's how you get that. Some of the signage, there was the different groups, keep the change, so that, again, it goes back to where's that money best spent. If I give you somebody directly money on the street, it's probably less effective in terms of giving them a better quality of life and getting services to them than if I gave it to one of our nonprofits. So if you're going to ask the public not to overcome their own feelings of, "I want to be compassionate and help people," we have to educate them that this is what really happens and here's what's available. So these services are available. So if you truly are a compassionate person, overcome that first initial feeling that I want to do something immediately because I was approached, and take the better approach, which is to help our nonprofits, help our towns get the services to people. And that's a longer term campaign. I don't know who takes responsibility for that, but I think it's part of what we have to try to do. I know the police have electronic signs. You can have hard signs, you know, put on poles, but also those flashing electronic signs in places where the panhandlers are, saying services are available through the town of West Hartford, city of West Hartford, or Hartford, or these nonprofits, call 211 for any of these services can be provided. So just to start the education process, the signs over the highways, the state might, DOT is another partner to consider getting involved in this, because they have the access to the signage in the highways. I would suggest if you decide to look at the ordinance, the key thing with the panhandling ordinance is they've been challenged some places in the country, not so successfully. As long as you don't impinge and infringe upon free speech and free speech alone, you should be good. The Hartford Town Ordinance, which is 2515 in the Hartford Town Ordinances, is actually a pretty well-written ordinance in regards to panhandling. Doug, you're still out there. Doug also looked up some legislation out of California, and there's a couple things in that legislation. So Doug is probably a better source than I am on it. It talks about not panhandling on median strips, so it's very specific. And that's a good thing to consider adding in. And then also within driveways of businesses, within a certain range within the driveways. You go out to Walmart, where we all overlap, Hartford, West Hartford, Farmington, there's a convergence of people there, and the panhandlers know the boundaries better than the prosecutor does, that's for sure. So, and then somebody mentioned, what's the effect regionally if you enact an ordinance in West Hartford? It will probably shift some of the panhandlers perhaps back into Hartford, certainly to Farmington. I know Glastonbury doesn't have an ordinance. It might shift people that way, but it usually goes to the surrounding towns, maybe Bloomfield. And then you have different types of panhandling. The West Hartford, I think, has the problem at the intersections when people are coming in and out of work. But they also have the problem of people roaming the downtown area through the businesses, and it's disruptive to the businesses. And, you know, things are starting to come back, but any hindrance to a business coming back to full-scale operations is something that I think as a community we also have to be aware of. Other things to look at, and maybe Astrid, you can check this out, but there's some studies that show the time of the month when people, a lot of the panhandlers who claim to be homeless, who claim not to be connected with services, are in fact connected with healthcare services through the state. They get some support through the state. And then the first of the month, the first few days of the month, there's a decrease in the presence of the panhandlers because they have funds in their pockets. So it's just one other thing. Maybe when you're trying to figure out what the scale of the problem is, to look at that as well, just to see if there's a connection there. The HMIS system, the Homeless Management Information System, we should be able to check if these people are connected, the people who are claiming that they're homeless, are they in the system already? Because there are services that a lot of these people are connected with. The other thing that would be fascinating would be to follow a day in the life of a panhandler, because we see them in their locations where they're panhandling, but then where do they go? They usually, it's a sub-community within the community, our own community, and they're part of our community, but they know each other for the most part. A lot of times when they're not out actively panhandling, they gather places, either drink, do drugs, whatever, and then they come back. So the course of the day is where they're spending that money that they just collected. And also to get an idea, I think the public, if they knew how much people were making, my gut feeling of the people that come to the court, it's not a lot, but it's certainly enough to sustain a healthy drug habit or alcohol problem. There's also people, and then if they're under the influence, that's when they become more aggressive and disruptive to our community. So, and Doug, you're nodding your head. You know this better than I do. So there's a lot.
Yeah, I didn't want to interrupt you. So, no, that's fine. So what we're seeing is a lot of these guys on the highways, I don't even know what the number is, but they're not from Hartford. So they'll come in here, they'll make some money. I know one person who told me personally, they followed them back because they were so irritated, and they went into a house in East Hartford. Is that the case with everybody? No, of course not. A lot of these people are addicts. They need the help there, 100%. My concern is when they're hanging out on these medians, where they're going to step into the road, where they're going to get hurt. So I think education, Tom, you're 100% right. Education is a big factor here in educating the public on understanding. Let's give to these organizations that are actually helping these people and get these people to those organizations, the ones that want help. I think that's huge.
Yeah, if we could try out a little bit of the supply side. And then I think what the ordinance does is gives you a little enforcement to disrupt the demand side. You'll make some headway on it. Here in Hartford, and even West Hartford has a lot of bigger businesses too, or just the smaller businesses. Some towns have, and you have to be careful how you do it because you can discourage customers if you go too heavy-handed. But certainly the Hartford, Aetna, the Travelers, some of our bigger employers within the organization can educate their employees of what's happening when they walk out and they hand over money to the panhandlers. So they can tell them, look, this is what's happening. That money's not going to the places you think it should, and it's not delivering the help that as a compassionate person you're trying to deliver. So perhaps at some point we can involve them to see if they, you know, they have the funding, they have the money, the resources to do that. Some of the restaurants, maybe it's enough for the restaurants to tell their customer base, hey, look, you know, we're aware of the panhandlers, we're aware of the homeless. A lot of the restaurants donate food. They donate assistance to the shelters, to the soup kitchens. You know, so they're doing it already, and maybe people just need to know that and know that, hey, I don't have to do it. It's being done. And by supporting these businesses, I'm helping.
Yeah, Tom, if I can interrupt again. So there's over 200 places of worship within the city. A lot of them give out food daily. If you are homeless, you can eat a meal every day. At least twice a day in some places. St. Pat's, St. Anne's, you know, I have a list here. There's, if you guys want, you can take my email. That's what's up on the screen there, antud001 at harvard.gov. And I can get you all of that as far as who supplies food and where and when. So there's food out there. There's resources out there. Jimmy Barrett, I mean, Jimmy, as we all know, has a special place in heaven. And he does a lot of tremendous work out here, and he has a lot of resources for these people.
So. Just so you know, Doug, heaven for Jimmy, it's on the south end. It's not the one you're talking about.
Okay.
I mean, that shouldn't joke. That's good. We know what you do, Jimmy. But it's, you know, it's going to take the whole community to get a handle on this and maybe do something better. And people need to know that the reason we're doing this isn't to punish. It's to reengage people fully in a healthy way to the community. And I think if we can get people to understand that, then maybe we'll make some inroads in it. And it has to be a sustained effort. Other towns have tried the different programs, different educational components. Unless it's sustained and we stay on top of it and not get frustrated by the lack of immediate improvement, then we stand to do something like this.
Right. And Tom, we do need to bring up that, you know, there are people out here that are trying to make a living. They have businesses. They do come in and out of the city. And I do get those complaints and those calls. And we have to have a balance where we take care of the people who are trying to make a living out here and have businesses, and at the same time help these people at the same time, because I'm a big believer in both. So
we need to have a balance. We have a responsibility to the people of providing jobs and providing services as well. And it makes for a better community for all of us. If we, you know, if the services are available and we're directing people to them, but if we have to be sometimes a little heavy handed in the enforcement by issuing the infraction, getting people to court, you know, some good will come out of it. And understanding the process, like what I said here today about what happens at community court, a lot of people don't, you know, that needs to be articulated as well. So that just because the police are given a summons, it doesn't mean it's a punishment. It's a way to, you know, ideally we get people's services on the street without a need to connect with a court. But Connecticut, Hartford area, we're lucky. This community court, I know it's my, you know, I work here, I love this place, but it's a different animal. And anybody who ever wants to come down and see this court, just come down. You'll be blown away by what we can provide and what we do here.
And my thing is you can reduce a lot of the panhandling situation is the awareness, like Tom mentioned. But if you guys have your website, the town website or a city website, we could just put some sort of like a bulletin of like panhandling, you know, warnings and like key tips. So when people go on your website, kind of West Hartford's website, you can see the tips of what not to do when you see a panhandler or something. That's a suggestion, you know. Because a lot of people are not aware, and these guys are very good at what they do. They are in survival mode, especially with their drug issues, and they're gonna do almost anything to get money. And they know how to word things because they don't want to hear the word no. They know how to target people who are givers. And they can read you a mile away. They can read you like a book. If you're a giver, if you got a good heart, they can read you like a book, and they will zero in on you, and they're going to give you some sort of a line to win you over to give money.
Oh, they're master salesmen first and foremost, and they're masterful. Doug, one of the things, one of the groups that Jimmy just touched on, the people are they know how to target people who are tending to be generous people. Students are incredibly generous. The younger generation feels like they're going to solve the problem on the street before any organization or anybody else can get to it. They have a better notion of what's needed. They befriend people. And so we have the downtown UConn campus. You have the West Hartford campus. So students are also, through the schools, might be a venue to educate people too. And maybe even enlist some assistance from the schools to try to lend support to help people. You know, so if we take away the idea that they want to donate, just give money, but give them an opportunity to be part of the solution, that may be one way to go at it too.
So, Tom, one of the things that that you've been talking about here in terms of educating the community, and that's really it's really providing referrals. You've talked about, you know, who do we educate? And when we were talking the other day, you mentioned corporate employers. To educate their employees because they are the ones that perhaps live in an inner ring suburb or in a suburb and then are going home and seeing these people as they enter their communities. But one of the things that, you know, certainly West Hartford has developed the information to put on our website about how to give, you know, keep the change, but make a change, you know, give to these other organizations or organizations like them. And certainly for every need, there's a group that's ready to help, right? And so give to those organizations that are ready to help. But I think it's also really important to remember this idea of, if we put it on our website, we need Farmington to put it on their website and Bloomfield to put it on their website and Newington to put it on their website, so that we're all giving a consistent voice, not just to our community, but to our neighbors. And that's something that I think we want to have buy-in and maybe get our CROG organization to help us. Is there common language that others have used that works better than what we might have come up with? Is there someone that can look at signage? I mean, Aaron, Lieutenant Vafiatis did a significant research on what signage, you know, some signage is, you know, got the red line, don't do this. And obviously, if we were going to agree on signage, we want signage that is positive signage that says, you know, make a change by giving your change here, as opposed, you know, instead of a don't do, it is do, right? It's a, I'm here.
You can say, help us help. Help us get the help. Don't get the help.
Right.
People do want to help people.
And in terms of an ordinance language, you know, obviously West Hartford, and we do have Cynthia Latour from our Corporation Counsel's office, but is to do an ordinance not that is going to be about passive panhandling. It's going to be about aggressive panhandling. So that will give, you know, potentially our police department, some tool as a last resort in case our social workers or our community education program is not successful. But I do think having the idea then that referral or that fine, if you will get erased if they go to community court, and that community court is a place not to punish, but to connect, you know, that's something that we can all embrace and support. Thank you.
This court can be, it's just a piece of the solution. It's not, it should not be the lead element. It's the last element. And I think all of you already know that and agree with that. But knowing that even as the last step of on the chain, when you come here, we're not looking to punish. We're looking to assist and get people back on track. So that's always been the model for this court. It's always been the intention. So. Does it always work? Of course it doesn't, but it's a court where, just so you know, we have people coming in off the street who don't have cases here. That says a lot about the court. It says that people trust this court and people feel safe here. So that's something we're all, everybody here, the marshals, the custodians, everybody here up to through the judge is very proud of that. We try to connect with people and we try not to alienate people. So
a question that came up, thank you. Yeah, a question that came up in our community about signage and certainly about listing organizations on our website is, you know, we're not in the business of supporting one organization over another organization. And there's a very, you know, we want to be very careful about, you know, including organizations that we know have the capacity to do good work. But do other towns, do you wrestle with this, you know, this challenge of, well, if I put up three organizations, you know, or if I list organizations like these three, why aren't we putting up, you know, that one or that one? Is that something that people are concerned about in other communities?
Well, could it be done through other ways? So you can say, you can list those providers connected through 211. You can list perhaps United Way supports a lot of organizations. So maybe many different ways to get the message out there without having the town being the one who endorses any given one.
So sticking with 211 is a good solution.
One possible.
Yeah, that's a start. I mean, definitely, you know, your main resource to is a gateway for the resources 211. That's the gateway. You really can't get any services, and the information got to be in the system, so all, you know, so the people could be aware of this individual, so we could identify the individual. So 211 is the foundation of your journey of getting this person back on track.
Do we have anyone from Journey Home out there? I'm trying to look through. Not on today.
Anybody from Journey Home on the call?
Not on this call.
Okay, they're a good resource too. I mean,
so with Journey Home is another great organization that, and we have other services like a different organization that we have outreach workers will go out and provide services for these homeless individuals, but they can't really do too much without them starting with 211. Mm-hmm. So 211 is the foundation before, you know, if you come across someone in West Hartford that needs services, first thing you need to do is call 211, get them a CAN assessment. Then once you get the assessment, then that's the gateway to open. That opens up the doors for the services for that individual.
Jackie, that's with Hands on Hartford too, that way?
Yes, because Hands on Hartford is under the umbrella of Journey Home. Okay. So Journey Home and, you know, we have all these other organizations is in under that umbrella.
And this is Astrid. I thank you for the invite. And thank you, Jim. I would like to piggyback a little bit on what Helen said and what you're saying. We have, and what Tom is saying is that we do have some of the resources that work, but we are not connected. We know all about those resources, but they're not touching upon the reality of the ones that are panhandling. As you know, and I'm glad that I'm seeing the social worker from Hartford, Patricia McIntosh. I'm seeing the team from here, from West Hartford, and also from Wethersfield, because we have a long experience with all these services. One of the things that we would like to go back is, what is that we would like to ask you, Croc? We would like Croc to be the one that help us put together, let's say, a task force. We know that the court is part of this, you know, system of providers, same way as some of the resources that are out there, like 211 and all of the housing elements that encompass, you know, the 211 resource database, United Way, etc. One of the things is that at the end of the day, the outreach, who's ready? This is something that we need to elaborate in a cohesive way. And we would like Croc to also help us put together many aspects of this as a big project, as a macro project, you know, from, you know, the outreach portion to do some of the liaisons to establish more. We said that people need substance abuse and mental health. Who is helping us to do an agreement with Hartford Hospital, St. Francis, so when we found that out, we can have a way of, you know, sending that person for a detox. So we will like, you know, these connections for the panhandlers in the region. That's, or the people who panhandle. We know that not everybody need housing. So 211 will not work for everybody. We might need to go to a detox, and we know how it works. But if we know the barriers of getting there, we also have very limited manpower, you know, and then we go into this circle of support. We go to the community core. The community core have a good trajectory of connectivity with the community, but we are a little bit far. We're now talking about other towns surrounding. How can we mimic some of the work that the court in Hartford is doing as well, or how can we contribute together? And we're lucky to have Jackie there, and we're now lucky to have Samantha. But, you know, still, we need more of a shape of a big project here with more connectivity. And that will include education to the community in many ways, restaurants, owners, but also other social workers that might be able to evaluate what's the readiness of people to get the help. You know, we can go over there and approach somebody, and somebody can say easily, no, thank you. You know, I'm fine. Like, I'm pretty sure you guys have heard, I don't need anything. I wanted to afford, I need this money to afford this or that. So, and then people will stay there. So hopefully we can have any of you or any additional support to make this a project, and then all together review what we can put in the pot.
So I'm trying to understand in terms of what the ask is for Capital Region, for CROG. I mean, we can definitely be a facilitator for different things. But if you can clarify what exactly, other than being a facilitator and a convener of these meetings, what is it that you need from us, would be helpful to understand. And in terms of, I think, processes, if it requires CROG staff and time and effort, then we would go through the at least Municipal Services and the Policy Board for their approval to move ahead with that. But if it's a convener and facilitator, we're definitely open for that in terms of that and moving forward as well.
Well, that was one of the idea that we were contemplating. Who can help us do this actual to include other towns and municipalities that might or might be struggling differently, right? Like, you know, our people in Wethersfield from the Silestine Highway, you know, that different fluctuation of the panhandlers, the one that we have here, who can congregate some additional support? And we thought that, and again, I don't know how much is the availability rather than, you know, congregating and, you know, but maybe some liaison, maybe this is the first initial meeting that maybe from here we can continue to work and elaborate a task force, more form, shape, with all of us contributing to this topic and to move forward. But certainly we need more than one town working. So if there's anything that you guys can do to glue us together as a group of like a regional initiative, you know, with similar language, you know, liaisons to the bigger helps, let's put it that way, like hospital, this or that. If we can somehow, you know, do a task force or something in that sort to keep us moving forward in the many aspects that we need assistance with.
Astrid, I'm just going to throw in some thought here because I don't exactly know the role that CRCOG has here other than convening either. And I'm new to this table, new to this really as a primary issue in my work world. So I am like a sponge just gathering a lot of information in this. The city of Hartford, I mean, I see that Carl is here from the Coalition to End Homelessness, Connecticut Coalition to End Homelessness. And I'm wondering if maybe Carl can provide some information about how Journey Home's role really is that coordination, right? It's coordinated access network for the CAN for homelessness. So I think that that might be the agency that you're thinking is going to provide some linkage between all of these different systems and services that need, as well as they have CANs, the Central Connecticut CAN, the Greater Hartford CAN, that you would belong to receive those services. Now, I'm still grasping it myself personally. I'm still grasping, you know, how the Journey Home works, but I think that that is your agency that's going to link you to that. So maybe Carl can provide some more information about that. And I also know that the city of Hartford has spent a lot of money trying to make sure that their systems are working in this way. So I'm not sure what that looks like in other municipalities, but I know that we have a lot of money allocated towards homelessness and homelessness, you know, issues. So I'll leave it there for you, Carl. Even though I've never met you. Hi, how are you?
Thank you. No, good. I apologize. I'm so late. But this is really important. So I'm just tuning in. But I would just say Journey Home Right is the backbone organization for Greater Hartford. Matt Morgan, the director there, has been working to outreach to municipalities, you know, throughout. So there's a plan there with Journey Home and municipal outreach. And of course, you know, with the concern, the acute concern of winter warming and, but certainly panhandling as well. So that would be, you know, that would be a great resource and or co-convener of this group. And I would just say too, you know, based on conversation last week with Matt, there's outreach staff that Journey Home has that looks over all of Greater Hartford and then also the Central CAN. They are in a moment of restaffing, so I'm not exactly sure who the outreach contacts are for Journey Home at this moment, but I do know that they have resources, and in the past they've had up to 3 staff, which doesn't sound like that much for such a great area, but is really statewide is fantastic for coverage, like given what else is happening in the state. So I agree. I don't know the details of the plan for outreach or again, like what the staffing level is at this moment, but I know Matt would like to be here and or his staff from Journey Home to kind of help push this along. And, you know, not to go, and I apologize again for being late, but we are trying to, some of my work at the coalition is really trying to have these discussions with municipalities about homelessness, and of which, you know, panhandling, we should be talking about these things too, because they're directly related to outreach, but really talking to municipalities about what steps can they take to support the coordinated access networks, the acute work that's going on for outreach and identification, and then also winter warming, and just support for CAN and for those who are trying to get out of instances of literal homelessness. So there's some ongoing work there, and this is great. Thank you to the Capital Region COG for hosting this.
It seems like inviting Journey Home to the table would be another, like the next step. Maybe that's a takeaway, right?
I think with a lot of the panhandlers, I mean, they though they claim homelessness, they don't fit the strict definition. However, when we have an interaction with someone, whoever it be, I think the idea is that we'll know whether it didn't fit homelessness or mental health treatment or maybe substance. We don't let them escape without trying to identify what the need is and getting them somewhere for the right person. So. Nice to meet you too, Patricia. We've met, I think, before, so.
Parkville Station.
Yes. my headache of the week, sorry. I'm actually going to have to head out in a little bit, so I think that I don't see myself as a lead in any way, but I'm here to help anybody if I can. And everyone is welcome at some point now down the line to come down to community court and sit with me. We'll give you a tour. Jackie can give you the tour on Wednesdays. I think she'll tell you it's a pretty amazing place. Not as amazing as I'd like it to be because our resources are down, but certainly a unique court in this state and even in the country. So it's a good place to start if you have to.
I think also the just using each other as resources is an important piece, right? So perhaps one of the best ways that we could just do that, and you know, at these meetings, is just to, in the chat box, put your name and contact information number, and then that becomes like your record of attendance as well as, you know, a contact information for you. So then I would have Tom's number and not have to say, hey, Tom, what's your number, right? So I'm going to start that. And if you wish to follow, then that's great.
But I just got my business card, so.
Yeah. I don't have any.
So I think in terms of, so I think my question for the group is what would be the next steps? I mean, we could convene another meeting with that includes Journey Home. Definitely, we're very familiar with Journey Home and Matt Morgan since we used to be neighbors. Actually, we're still technically neighbors since they're in the building next door. I think my question is what next? Is it just at this point in time convening to discuss and try to move things forward? I mean, we're certainly not experts in terms of language or consistent, you know, of what works with regards to marketing to the public. I know I've seen campaigns down in New Haven where they were trying to tell people not to give to panhandlers, but to give to charities instead. And here's, I don't know if they listed any at that time, but, I think my question for the group is, what are the next steps that you'd like to see?
Colleen, can I just add one thing in? You brought up New Haven. One of my articles that I dug out is from 1993. It was in the New York Law School. Panhandlers at Yale, a case study in the limits of the law. The problems, we've been trying to beat this for a long time. So it's a frustrating problem, but I think working together, we can make some headway on it. Case is almost older than me. Not quite.
Well, like I said before, I think, you know, a follow-up meeting will be great. Maybe an email that somebody guide us to see what will be the next steps, you know, a layout or a skeleton of, you know, what is that we need, what is that we have, what language we have, and then maybe with an email and, you know, sharing information, we can come with a better samples of, you know, what will be the language to educate people, what will be the approach, who will be the next people that need to be in our table the next time, et cetera. So that's one of the things that I will love to see happen next.
This is Helen Rubino-Turco. I'd also love to see in the interim between now and a next meeting, some sharing of sample signage, sharing of sample community education pieces that we can compare and compare notes. I think one of the issues that was raised at our first round table was, okay, so I have this number that I'm supposed to call, but it only operates during these hours and I need it during this hours. And then who do I, you know, and it's trying to find more resources because all the beds are full or all the detox places closed and there's a waiting list. So it's, how do I get to connect the people that we have right here, right now with something. So I think that's also building capacity at some of the choke points of service.
Mm-hmm.
And identifying where those choke points are.
At Journey Home will answer all those questions once you invite them in the next meeting. All those questions, Journey Home will explain in detail on how they do it, and they will, you know, give you as much information as possible to resolve that issue for you.
So I think we're almost on the hour. What I'd like to do is for next steps, we will convene another meeting, including and, you know, coordinate with Matt Morgan or someone in his organization to join that meeting to discuss what, you know, what they do and what the resources are available, where their reach is. I think also at the same time, we can do an outreach to the CROG Municipal Services Committee members to see what signage and sort of PSAs have been used in the past or are being used in the different communities to get a wider reach of the CROG area. So we could proceed that way and then take things from there. That sounds, I see some nodding heads.
Sounds good.
It's wonderful. Great. I guess, does anybody have any other closing comments or thoughts?
No, this is Helen Rubino. I just wanted to thank again CROG for bringing us together. I appreciate your time. And I especially welcome some of the new voices, particularly Patricia McIntosh. Thank you so much for joining us and really, you know, keeping this conversation moving forward in the spirit of, you know, really, again, taking this holistic approach from a regional standpoint rather than just in our silo. I think that by working together, we can be obviously much more effective. So appreciate everybody's time on that.
Thank you. Great. Thank you all.
Does everyone know how to save the chat? the three little dots next to the smiley face at the bottom, you click on that and hit save chat. And you could save the whole chat and then you have all the, it'll just pop up when the meeting ends. And you'll have all the contacts. Thank you.
I hate learning new stuff. Come on.
It's new. There was a reason why we invited her.
Yeah. Yeah.
We also, since we're recording the meeting, we will have a copy of the chat as well, which I'm happy to send out to folks, you know, in an email so that everybody has these resources if that works best for folks.
We'll send out access to the recording of the meeting and as well as the list that we have of the Human Services Coordinating Council as well as the panhandling group that we have both those lists so that and maybe a brief summary of the meeting so that we know what next steps are. So great, wonderful.
Thank you,
everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Tom, thanks again.